Welcome to Financial Perspectives, the podcast. Join the team at Foster Group and our expert guests as we explore a variety of subjects that could impact your financial life. We will cover timely economic and financial market news, a wide range of personal financial planning ideas, and investment topics. Ultimately, we want to encourage educated optimism and do our best to provide valuable insights to help you navigate your financial journey with confidence. Please stick around at the end for important disclosure information. More information about Foster Group can be found in our ADV brochure at fostergrp.com.
Over the past several weeks, developments involving Iran have once again highlighted how quickly geopolitics can re-enter the market narrative. Headlines around regional instability often spark short-term market volatility, which we're currently seeing in both equities and commodities such as oil. I'm in the studio today with Kent Kramer, Chief Investment Officer at Foster Group. Kent and I recorded a video in February titled Market Volatility in 2026. At the time, we didn't realize how timely it would become in light of recent events. But the core message still holds true. When tensions rise, markets tend to react quickly, and that can feel unsettling, especially amid constant dramatic headlines. For long-term investors, however, the more important question isn't how markets perform this week, but whether events like these truly change the long-term outlook. Kent, we've been discussing and following the events as they've been evolving. Get us up to speed with what's going on in the markets, and then also talk a little bit about this quote that you found that's really resonating with you.
Yeah, happy to do that. You know, I think let's just start with what's happened since the beginning of the year. Markets really had a good start to the year. They were up positive across the board. The U.S. markets were positive. Foreign markets were positive. Things just looked kind of good, even though we thought we were talking about volatility, which may or may not come. And then we had this war begin in the Persian Gulf, late February. And what we saw there is an immediate downturn in markets and an immediate upturn in oil prices, which was really to be expected given the nature of the conflict and where it was. What we've seen since then, kind of on a year-to-date basis, is U.S. markets are just slightly negative depending on which day you're looking. They were at the end of the day yesterday. And foreign markets actually were still marginally positive. Interest rates had begun to go a little higher, which was putting pressure on bond prices. So all those things kind of brought us back almost to, let's say, flat for the year in terms of total return. If investors look back 12 months, though, and they look at their returns over the last 12 months, I think we would all still be very, very happy. Those returns are in the upper teens to the lower 20s, depending on which market you're looking at. So overall, the past 12 months have been good ones for investors. What's happened here in the last 4 weeks, though, has really, I think, caused people to be concerned. And that concern is totally understandable. I was watching a news program a week after the conflict started, and on the program, they were interviewing Lloyd Blankfein. He's the former CEO of Goldman Sachs, so a very savvy investor. And when they asked him what he was concerned about, he said this. He said, look, if you ask me what I'm thinking about, I'm going to give you a list of my worries. But if you ask me what I'm doing, I'm invested in stocks, long-term risky assets. And I really just loved that response because he acknowledged that in times like this, we always come up with list of worries. You know, what am I thinking about? If someone asks me, what are you thinking about right now? I think, well, I'm thinking about, you know, this war in Iran and people who are suffering and stock prices and all those same things. But if you ask me what I'm doing and what we're advising clients to do, it has not changed because the way that we think about markets is a much longer term picture with the expectation that periodically we're going to have short term volatility like this, though we don't always know when or what exactly will cause it.
Such a seasoned investor and wise advice. So if I throw that back to you, you know, given what's going on, sort of what are your worries right now?
Yeah. Well, I think they're the same ones that most people would name off if they're thinking about economics and markets. You look first at a war and go, boy, no one likes those. There's a lot of people suffering, a lot of damage, and it will have lasting impacts on the ground for people. Mm-hmm. So that's hard. But if you go past that and say, okay, what does this mean for economics or markets? Then you start looking at oil prices going higher. So we're all paying more for gasoline right now, for example. So that's a follow-on effect. What happens is oil prices go higher. Generally, you think about maybe the economy will slow down for a couple reasons. We might have inflation again. That's a concern. Will these increases in prices stick around? Will the increase in oil prices cause not only gas prices to rise, but then kind of on a secondary effect, you know, I've talked about this, other things to rise as well. And then what does that mean for the Federal Reserve? Does that mean inflation starts to, it's been stubborn anyway. So if it is starting to rise again, does the Federal Reserve have to raise interest rates, which tends to slow the economy? So there's all these kind of concerns, you know, to think about. But again, I think the point of the list of worries is to acknowledge that they're normal. They're things we're thinking about. They're real. But in terms of the impact on an individual's financial plan or the way that they think about investing their portfolio for the long term, that's where I really like Blankfein's, his ability to kind of compartmentalize. Say, here's my list of worries. They're there. They're real. But when I look at my investment behavior, what I'm actually going to do, it's going to remain consistent.
You know, I think the big question is the duration, right? I mean, if this doesn't last very long and inflation is kept in check, you know, the outlook for the economy, whether U.S. or global, second half of 26 and into 27, you know, maybe the Fed can continue on their path of, you know, managing inflation and making sure we have high employment rates. But we'll have to see. I mean, that's a little bit of the unknown at this point.
Yes.
But let's talk, you know, history has always been a good guide to future market performance, or it's a good teacher, right? And so when we look back at just historical context for military conflict, you know, what do we know from that?
Yeah, I think that's it's a great thing to look at history because it gives us at least some indication of how things have happened in the past and how they may happen. Maybe even there's a reasonable probability that they'll look similar in the future. But the idea there is there are charts called walls of worry. And I like that title for these charts because the wall of worry would say, well, if I look at the long-term performance of the market and I just put in things that people have been worried about along the way. So in this case, let's think about the S&P 500, the return of that over time. And then let's just put in at certain dates what the wars and conflicts were. And the thing that you see is even though there have been all these wars and conflicts, the historical trajectory of the S&P, of the U.S. stock market, has been higher. Mm-hmm. It certainly gets interrupted in terms of its growth not being just a smooth, you know, from low to high. But the overall trend for investors, for people who have had a lifetime of investing, long-term investors, the overall trend has been really pretty good. Even though it's punctuated by these periods of instability and maybe decline. So I think that's kind of what we're looking at now. We are seeing a period what's punctuated by decline. The question is, what will be, like you said, what's the duration of the decline? How long does this particular event last before what we think would happen based on history is companies, again, will start to figure out how to be profitable. The world will want to return to some kind of peaceful settlement because it's in everybody's best interest to do so in some way. It's just a question of how will that come about and when, maybe.
You know, we recorded this video in February, and at that time, I mean, there were headlines, but, you know, nothing quite as unsettling as this.
Who remembers Venezuela now?
Right.
Like, that was a big thing, and now it's like, well, it's in the past.
Or Davos, or, yes. You know. But it's one thing to say, you know, invest through uncertainty when the markets are fairly benign, right? It's another thing to hold on to that when things feel very unsettled, as they maybe do right now. One of the things we say around here at Foster Group often is embrace uncertainty. And so maybe just remind us, like, why do we believe that? What are the tenets kind of behind that principle?
Yeah. And I love it. And it's especially relevant right now. Embracing uncertainty just is a recognition that the future is very hard, if not impossible, to predict. So rather than think, oh, I need to get rid of uncertainty, it's to admit uncertainty will always be there. So if uncertainty is a thing, is real, then it almost is better for us, we think, to just embrace it for a couple of reasons. One is if you have an expectation that uncertainty will go away, your expectations are always going to go unmet. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't feel good. Unmet expectations are never good. They cause us to be disappointed all the time. It's not a good way to live. Also, uncertainty creates risk in the market, and risk in the market is one of the things that's linked to expected returns over time. Without that uncertainty, we wouldn't have expectations of higher returns in the future. So we have to live with some uncertainty, even accept some uncertainty or embrace it, if you will, in our portfolio with the idea that I would like to get higher expected returns. Now, we do that in a very careful way, you know, working with people to say how much risk, how much uncertainty is really enough to generate the return or too much to create too much short-term volatility. But that embracing uncertainty is important. And what I'd add here is, especially in times of war or conflict, you know, to think that you or I or any economist knows what's going to happen in the war, because so much of the timing of how this works out is going to be how this war conflict goes and how it winds up, what kind of solutions are offered. If the governments don't know, if the military commanders don't know today how it's going to go, the likelihood of an economist or a market person knowing is pretty small. So we have to just live with that uncertainty for a time. And I think the other part of that is to not try and guess when or what's going to happen, because no one really knows.
Exactly. And that's why the planning process is so important, right? We take these situations into account. We expect uncertainty and volatility, and that's incorporated into the plan.
Exactly. And that's what people really need to look back on in their own circumstance. Go, you know, we've talked about making sure the portfolio is in place to support the things that we want to do when we want to do them, acknowledging that tough things, bad things are going to happen from time to time. We know they will. We just don't know what they will be or when exactly they'll happen. So the portfolio needs to be ready at any time for whatever the circumstances are.
Even for war.
Even for war.
Well, thank you for joining me today and just for your insights as these developments are occurring. And we appreciate your calm confidence through this.
Well, so. It's a pleasure to be here. I just think about the educated optimism. This is another example of where I think it really works in our favor.
Exactly. At the start of the year, we couldn't predict the specific headlines 2026 would bring, but we anticipated continued change. We account for that uncertainty in our planning process and will closely follow this conflict as it evolves. To learn more about our approach to navigating uncertain markets, check out our February Financial Perspectives video. And as always, the team at Foster Group is here to support you and answer any questions you may have along the way.
The previous presentation by Foster Group was intended for general information purposes only. No portion of the presentation serves as the receipt of, or as a substitute for, personalized investment advice from Foster Group or any other investment professional of your choosing. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk, and it should not be assumed that future performance of any specific investment or investment strategy, or any non-investment related or planning services, discussion, or content, will be profitable, be suitable for your portfolio or individual situation, or prove successful. Foster Group is neither a law firm nor accounting firm, and no portion of its services should be construed as legal or accounting advice. No portion of the content should be construed by a client or prospective client as a guarantee that he or she will experience a certain level of results if Foster Group is engaged, or continues to be engaged, to provide investment advisory services. A copy of Foster Group's current written disclosure brochure discussing our advisory services and fees is available upon request or at www.fostergrp.com/disclosures.